My name is Jesse Hawthorne, and this is my story. I was born in December of 1986. I was technically adopted by my mom and my dad. My birth parents gave me up when I was 8 weeks old, which I always knew that I was adopted. Throughout my life, where we grew up, I had a lot of crazy experiences happen. We moved to this small house in this tiny town way down south in Illinois, and the house was on an Indian burial ground. It was also an old schoolhouse. And as I got like older, like 4, 5, 6, I started noticing things in the woods and seeing things that I couldn't understand or explain. And that happened a lot growing up. I actually would sleep in my brother's crib, and I would sleep with my mom and my dad in their bed until about 1997. I was 10 years old and my dad passed away. The day of his passing was really sudden. He had asthma, so every now and then he would have asthma attacks, and my mom would tell me to get my brother ready, and we would go follow the ambulance to the emergency room, and everything would be fine. And he would be coming home and everything. So the day that he passed, my cousins and my aunt were over visiting. It was April 27th of 1997. And my cousin and I were in the one yard playing, and my mom said, it's time to take, you know, everybody home back to, they lived kind of in the Chicago area. So it was a good hour and a half drive. So we got in the car and we drove up to drive them home. And my cousin and I wanted to keep playing outside. So I kept telling my mom, I don't want to go home yet. I want to play some more. And so we delayed going home until a little bit later. And then after we got home, I remember my brother and I were in my mom's room watching Empire Strikes Back of all movies. And then she came busting in the room and said, Jess, you got your brother ready. We got to take your dad to the hospital. So I was kind of used to that. So I got dressed. I got him dressed, made sure he had like something to occupy himself with. And then we drove to the hospital and followed the ambulance. I don't really remember the ambulance getting there, but I know the ambulance was there and took him out of the house. That was one thing that my mom later found, didn't think about then, but they walked him out of the house instead of putting him on a gurney. And that actually could have been what what caused him to die. We were at the hospital, and I just remember hearing my mom scream. And now that I'm older, I think I actually astral projected into the room, because I was in the room. I saw my dad's body and my mom crying, and I didn't really know what to do or what to say. But then before I knew it, I was back in the waiting room, and my mom says that she doesn't remember me being in the room. So now that I'm older, I think I might have astral projected by accident when I heard her scream. And the doctors came out with her and, you know, said that that he passed. And I didn't cry. I just like got thrown into maturity, and I bottled everything up. The doctor actually told my mom that he was shocked that her 10-year-old daughter was very mature and did not freak out. So I actually suffered a lot of guilt throughout my life, feeling like it was my fault. Oh, I'm going to try not to cry. I felt like it was my fault that he died, because I wanted to stay at my cousin's a little bit longer and play. So I lost him at a very early age. And I think after that happened, I shut everything off. I pretty much was an atheist when I started middle school and high school. I didn't believe in anything. I didn't believe in God. I didn't think there was really anything. So high school and middle school were kind of hard because I didn't was one of the only people there that didn't have a dad. And then when I became 14, I found out that he passed in the driveway and not at the hospital. So I bought a pendulum board and thought that I was talking to my dad in the driveway when in fact I was talking to the spirits that were there, the land spirits. I'm not sure what was there, but considering it was an Indian burial ground, I'm sure it was protectors of the land. So that's pretty much, that catapulted me into like my abilities. And I was also, it was like, I was also like around puberty age as well. So I started feeling things and seeing things more often and had a lot of activity in the house. I would see 8 to 10 foot tall black shadow figures with red eyes or bluish white eyes. Occasionally I would see those. Stuff would get moved in the house. Things like would be out of place. I would watch things fly off of my dresser. So I was kind of targeted, I guess, because I have abilities. I didn't realize that then. I just thought I was just that messed up because I was a young teenager and I lost my dad and I didn't really have really anything or anybody because my mom had to take care of us. So after I tried talking to him on the pendulum board, then that's when things got a little interesting, I guess. I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't understand that I was feeling other stuff and things were influencing me. I thought it was me. And now that I'm older, I realize what it really was because I couldn't handle all of the emotions and all of the different things that I would feel and not understanding. I was a cutter when I was younger. I obviously did. Also my dad passed when I was 10, and then when I was 11 years old for my fifth grade physical, they found out that I had scoliosis. And so they needed to put a rod in my back in order for me to not be a hunchback. So my mom agreed to the surgery. They put one rod in when I was 11, and then they said I was going to grow more, obviously. So after I was 18, they would put another one in or to finish the job. So after I graduated high school, they put another or two more in my back. So I have one small one and then two that are like against my spine to keep my back straight. Pretty much if I didn't get that surgery, I would have died, I think, before I was 30 is what the doctor was saying, because I would have hunched over so much that all my organs would have been smushed and I wouldn't have been able to live. So that happened right after I graduated high school. And then again, I started getting targeted by whatever was on the property. I was with my first fiance at the time. So he experienced a lot of the stuff with me. So at least I knew that I wasn't nuts, that I had somebody that was seeing things and hearing things and everything just like I was. So it wasn't just the property. And then it was 2008. My fiance that I did have broke up with me on my 21st birthday. And so I was still living with him. And I would try to not be out as much. I wanted to be away from the apartment. So I would hang out with friends and everything as well. So we were out doing karaoke around the St. Patrick's Day. And I was staying at my friend's house that night. And a couple weeks before that, I was noticing like a little bit of blood. Like I would cough and I would have a little bit of blood. Didn't really think anything of it because I'm stubborn and I'm fine. And then I filled her toilet full of blood. So she rushed me to the emergency room. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong. At first they thought like, oh, she's got a little bit of blood in her mucus, she's fine. But obviously I wasn't, because I filled the sink just with blood and everybody freaked out seeing the nurse's faces paled after my friend got them in there. And then the next thing I remember is just people rushing around me. I don't really know what they were doing. I was just being hooked up to stuff and poked and prodded. And I think they shoved pills down my throat. It was just a mess. And I don't even remember seeing my mom. I don't know how my mom found out. And then I think my friend called her from my phone or something, because it was, what, 2008. So you didn't have like the face IDs or the passcodes. You could just use people's phones. So I remember that happening. And then I remember being like awake kind of and hearing talking around me. And then, so from what I understand, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me at the tiny little hospital where I grew up. So they airlifted me to Rush in Chicago, and the doctor there figured out that one of the screws from one of the rods punctured my lung, and I was suffocating on my own blood. So it would make sense that I was coughing up blood for a couple weeks prior to that. So because the screw was in my spine, they could not take it out. So the doctor pretty much was like, well, in order for us to save her life, we're going to have to cut out that part of her lung. So they ended up removing a third of my right lung. And then the doctor wrapped mesh around my spine so that wouldn't happen again. So technically, I still do have some eroded screw that's in my spine, which is kind of crazy to think about. So that's pretty much the operation that they did. I did not know that I died on the operating table. I got told that, I think, when I got my stitches out. I was talking to the doctor, and he told me that I died 3 times on the operating table. The first 2 times that I died, they were able to bring me back with like the paddles. And then the 3rd time, they called my time of death, which was, I believe, around 11:49, 11:50 a.m. because they started the surgery early. Because 2 weeks prior to that, they had to put me in a medically induced coma so I wouldn't suffocate on my own blood. So I had a tube in my nose, a tube in my throat, and I think 2 tubes in my lungs that was like breathing for me or something. And then the other one tube was taking the blood out, and the other one was like inflating my lung and breathing for me. And from what I was told from, well, he's my best friend now, but my ex-fiance at the time, from what he told me, was that I literally looked dead, that he snuck into the hospital to see me. And he said that, like, I didn't look like myself, that I had no life to me. And I had like dried blood all over my mouth and all over my neck and my face. So he was like terrified that something serious did happen to me, but it really freaked them out. And so one of the first things that I remember, aside from the whirlwind of people around me and then occasionally hearing voices, was I woke up. Well, I thought I woke up, and my dad was next to me, to my left. I could feel his presence, and I knew he was there. And I didn't really think like, oh, you know, I died, so I'm with my dad. I didn't even really know what to think. I just felt him right there next to me. And I felt love, and I felt kind of almost like happiness and relief. Like, oh, my dad's here, and like excitement. And then I actually opened my eyes. And my friend, who was, I guess, there a lot, from what my mom was saying, he was there all the time. He was like right kind of over my face, and I opened my eyes, and he smiled and said and yelled, "She's awake, she's awake." And then my mom came rushing over, and my godmother was there as well. And they were all like, you know, so happy that I was awake and everything. And I don't even know what happened to me. I'm just like, I was just at karaoke yesterday. What happened? I thought I was just at karaoke hanging out at my friend's house, and I don't understand. Like, there was no time or anything. It was just that happened. And then I remember telling my mom, like, Dad was here. I felt Dad was here. And she was like, sweetie, he's not here. He he died when you were 10, remember? And I'm like, no, dad was here. And so that was how big, I guess, his presence was next to me, that I thought I could reach next, like reach over and grab him. He was right there next to me. So then after that happened, I had a lot of kind of not so great things happening. I lost my job. Somebody that I was seeing kind of flipped out on me, and I actually ended up trying to kill myself again. I took a whole bottle of antidepressants because I was drinking all the time, because pretty much my life fell apart. My fiance broke up with me. I lost my job because I pretty much died, which if anybody wants to know, that was Walmart that did that. So a lot of stuff like that happened, and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I did that, but then got like, I don't know, a feeling like panic feeling. So I tried to puke up the pills. It didn't work. So then I called my my ex-fiance at the time, because we were still talking and everything. And he rushed to where I was and then brought me to the ER. And obviously I'm still here. So after that happened, I pretty much was like, I need to not do that. Like, I don't know why I did that. And I took myself off of all the different medications they were trying to put me on, because I was on medicine most of my life, with like depression and anger issues, which I find out later is attachments and stuff. That was probably what happened. But, so after all of that, I think I shut all my gifts off again by accident, because I just went through life, like going to college, working a full-time job and going on with life. Every now and then we would like go ghost hunting or something like that, and we'd, you know, have fun with that. But I never really thought too much about spirituality or anything like that until actually a few years ago, I kind of started getting back into it. Like, I've always loved crystals, and I've always been able to heal people, not really thinking about it. Friends would have headaches or they wouldn't feel good, and they'd be around me and I would just make their headache go away or make their stomach ache go away. I didn't know why it would happen. It would just happen. So that started happening a lot. And I was like, that's kind of weird. I wonder why that's happening. So I started like getting more into that. And I've always been into like the paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, ghosts, whatever you want to call it. I've always been into that and been interested. So I just started down a rabbit hole, and it's a very long rabbit hole. So I started reading more and more books. And then in 2013, I started trying to be more positive and like affirmations and meditating and trying to have a more positive outlook on life and everything and be happy all the time. And it worked for a while. And then I moved up north in 2014 and unfortunately was with an abusive person. So I got spiraled back into the depressed side of myself. I didn't go on any medications, but my gifts started to come back. I didn't realize it at the time, but I would feel stuff from other people and think it was my emotions, or I would always know when somebody was lying to me. I just knew it. So the person that I was with, I always knew that he was lying, and then he would get mad at me. So then that caused problems, and I never knew why I knew. I just knew that that person was lying, or somebody else was, or I would just know things like if I'm driving in the country, I just need to slow down out of nowhere, and then a deer runs across the road, or little things like that would happen all the time that I never really thought about. And then after reading a lot and understanding more things, I started to realize, like, wait, I think I have abilities, or, oh, maybe that's what all this stuff has been throughout my life. So in 2019, I actually met up with my mom at this crystal shop in Tinley Park, and the crystal owner, who is a really good friend of mine now, he was like, oh, what are you doing on Saturday? I was like, nothing. Why? And he goes, you should come to Reiki Share. And I'm like, what is that? And he was like, oh, it's healing energy. And he started explaining it to me. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll come. And maybe I can meet more people that are obsessed with crystals like I am. That was the main thing. I didn't know anything about Reiki. So I went there. And then I met quite a few people that I still am best friends with today. I had my first Reiki session done. And all the hairs on my arms and everywhere would stand up. And like, it felt like electricity, and it's indescribable. And the only other time I felt that was when you're in a haunted location and something's about to happen, like, or it just happens and everything stands up on end and like you're like electric. And so I thought it was fascinating that getting a Reiki session that's healing energy, I get the same feeling that I got throughout my life when something weird would happen, the goosebumpy feeling. So after going to a couple sessions, he's my Reiki teacher. He asked if I would be interested in learning. So I was like, yeah, I would love to learn this. Like this, I feel like I already do this, but now this, it's like, you could put it in categories or name it and make it make more sense. So I got my first, Reiki certificate in May of 2020. That one was virtual, but it still worked. And then I got my second one in, I believe it was October of 2020 or October of 2021. And then I got my master's, almost 2 years ago. So I'm a Reiki master, and then I got into sound healing as well. I've always been into music. One of the things that I've definitely learned, well, for one, I was an atheist. I did not believe in anything. There wasn't anything. We're here, and then we go poof. Ghosts, I was interested in ghosts, but I always figured those were just spirits that couldn't move on. But if you can move on, then you just go poof. So after dying and realizing that I can be with my dad again, that got me thinking, well, what else is out there? So I got more into that. And then after learning the Reiki and the spiritual stuff in 2019, I've just been progressing ever since then. I've taken a few shaman classes as well. And it's a fun rabbit hole to go down all the different healing modalities and all the different spirituality things. Like, there's definitely other stuff around us all the time, and there's definitely another plane of existence. I don't know if I was in that plane or if I was in like the limbo state and my dad was like, you're not leaving yet. I don't know what happened. I just know that after I pretty much died, I knew he was there, and then I wanted to know why that happened. And little by little, the atheism chipped away, and then I called myself an agnostic. And then after a little while, that chipped away, and now I pretty much believe that there's source, universal energy. Anybody can call it whatever they want, but there's something out there that helps us along the way. There's something out there that guides us. There's something out there that like can help heal people. Like all these different experiences that I've had has led me to who I am today. That's why after like starting to be open about who I am and my life, I'm not like regretful of anything that's happened to me. I had a lot of traumatic experiences throughout my life, but that in turn led me to how I am now and how I don't want anybody to feel that way. I don't want anybody to feel isolated. I don't want anybody to feel alone or that they have to kill themselves because of feeling ostracized and not understanding their gifts. If I would have had someone there for me that understood the things that I was going through, I probably wouldn't have been a cutter and I wouldn't have tried to kill myself the multiple times that I did. But again, like I said, I'm also grateful for what I did go through because it led me to who I am today. So everything does happen for a reason, whether it be good or bad. The experiences that I had at that house, I guess you could say, opened up the supernatural bubble for me to go down rabbit holes and find out about different things because I know these things happened. And funny fact is, a couple weeks ago in the town that I grew up in like the town Facebook, somebody posted my old house and literally said, "Does anybody know what's happening with this house? It has been vacant for 10 years and it is an eyesore." In 2012, the house got foreclosed on. Somebody bought it and they started remodeling it. They redid the garage. And unfortunately, they decided to tear up a lot of the land because we had 5 acres. And I don't think the spirits were very happy with that because it is kind of ironic that somebody new moves in there, cuts down these gigantic, beautiful oak trees and all these flowers and bushes. And they cleared out so much of that property and then nobody lives there. I think there's a reason for that, honestly. But it's also, it's just interesting to me to see that, like, I'm not nuts. Something is on that land, and whoever owns that property now, they're still not living there, and it's been over a decade. So I guess the end of my story pretty much is you never really know what's going to happen, and you need to make sure that you understand that everything that you go through, whether it be good or bad, can lead you to being a better person. It could lead you to different experiences down your path, your life. When I died in 2008, there is no way that I would have thought that I would be practicing Reiki healing energy and helping people all the time and healing people and letting the universe make its path for me and being okay with it. Like, I never thought that that would be me back in 2008 when I didn't believe in anything. But everything that I've been through since then has led me to who I am now. And it's an interesting ride, and it's actually been a lot of fun. Since November, after I fully accepted who I was and started speaking about everything, all the universe has just been throwing all this stuff in my lap. Then it's all about my passions, which is paranormal and healing and like spirituality. Those are my passions. And I just keep getting stuff thrown at me like, here, you can do this now. You can do this now. And from what I understand, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm actually probably going to be writing a book as well. I got to find the time to do that because I'm very busy, but I do want to write a book and have it pretty much be about what I've been talking about and how people need to understand that there is other stuff out there, even if you don't understand it yet, and to stay positive and to know that you're being looked after or looked out after, because I honestly don't really know where I would be if it wasn't for 2008 when that happened, because it threw me down a really dark path, but then I pulled myself out of that dark path and it's been more light ever since then.
This show is brought to you in part by Studio 6 Productions.